preached a good message, good salvation message. And then I also want to remind you that to my left over here on the wall, there's a chart that we really, really need to be signing up on tonight before you leave. You can take a 30-minute slot, or if you want to take more than one, you can. You can take them together or separate them, however you want to do them. But it would be a blessing to all of us. We need to pray for a radio station. And I don't know if you've seen the news as to what's going on in Ukraine. It's wicked and evil, what's taking place. These people are fighting for their freedom, dying for their freedom. And yet we take ours for granted. It's so sad, really. There's evil reports coming out of the news already. Just pure wickedness. One report, and I was told a little while ago, back at the counter there, that a tank had driven up on a woman's car and just sat there for a few moments and then drove off. Now, that's just pure wickedness. The civilian. That's just meanness. But that's the time that we're living in. It's, folks, it's with everything that's going on in the world right now, the pandemic that's been going on. I don't want to get off on that too much because I don't want to get talking about masks. I don't like them. I'm not going to wear one. I thank God that it's just about over with. Right, they're talking about, I guess, Fauci. They need to fire him and run him out of the country as far as I'm concerned. Because what the things that he's asking us to do or been asking us to do is not science, it's foolishness. I mean, third grade science will object to what he's saying, so it doesn't make sense. But hopefully and prayerfully that'll come to an end. But isn't it amazing as we went through, gone through three phases of COVID now, that I think the people around the globe have just about tired of it. It's gotten to the point that even other countries are saying no, we're not dealing with it anymore. So they've been forced to more or less drop the mandates. It's not because they want to, because they still want control over you. And then you look at everything that's going on around the globe, and isn't it amazing that we get out of COVID and we step into Ukraine and Russia going to war over there? They got one thing stopped and another thing started. And everything to me, everything is pointing towards one thing, and that's the Antichrist. Everything's pointing towards a global government. Because, folks, that's what they want. Amen. They want a global government. And in order to have a global government, you have to have a global currency. Right. And in order to have a global currency, you have got to bankrupt the countries and reboot. You can't have America dollar way up here and then a Vietnamese dollar way down here. Right now, if you took a $100 bill, went to Vietnam, and cashed it in for their money, it would take four people to tote the money off. That's how much difference there is in the currency. You can't have that. It's got to be the same. So they're going to do everything they can to destroy this country. Amen. They're going to bankrupt us. I mean, our so-called president, we need to pray for him. I mean, I said something about it this morning. I don't like the man. I don't know him, but I don't like what he does as a president. But we need to pray for him. Because what he needs is Jesus. He needs to be saved. And thank God that it's not too late for him to get saved. If he's still on the planet, he's still breathing, he can still get saved. We need to pray that somebody will get the gospel to these people in the White House. That's what we need to do. But everything that we see going on in the globe today, everything is pointing towards the Antichrist. Folks, we talk about the rapture coming, and we've always talked about the rapture, but in reality, most of us never believe that it's coming in our lifetime. I don't know about you, but I see it coming. No, it could happen tonight before we get out of here. It could happen tomorrow or next month, but it's not going to be very long. And the saddest thing about it is that we still tarry and act like it doesn't matter. It does matter. Folks, people around you, we talked a little bit about that this morning in Sunday school, but people around you that are lost are going to hell. You know, folks, we need to understand something. When the rapture takes place, the cross is withdrawn. Right now, we live in a grace age. Anybody can accept Jesus and get saved. Anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, how bad you've been. It's not about you getting better to get right and accept Christ. That's not the way it works. Amen. You need to accept Christ to get better. Amen? Amen. That's the way it works. So if you're in here tonight and God has just laid this on my heart, folks, we've got people that possibly have been here for years and still don't know Jesus. If I ask you today, if I was to ask you right now, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And you can say yes, and I can say, how do you know? And there's still a lot of people who cannot properly answer that question. And we all, every one of us, we all get saved the same way, no matter who we are. From the beginning to the ending, everybody's going to get saved the same way. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one name by which we must be saved. But people just aren't getting it. And they're hearing preaching. They're preaching. They're hearing it, and they're hearing it, and they're hearing it. But it's like it's going in this ear, and it goes out this one. Or it gets here, and it stops. It's like it's not soaking in. And I understand, because I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. So I understand sometimes it's hard to get a hold to something. But the gospel's fairly simple. It really is. It's really simple. So if you're here tonight and you have any doubts whatsoever, that if you were to die tonight, that you'd go to heaven, then run your antenna up. Because I'm telling you right now, it's simple. The Bible's in Romans 10 tells us that you believe with the heart and you confess with the mouth. Thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. Everything else is man-made. Everything else is something that somebody added to the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's just that simple. So with that being said, look at Revelation. I want to look at chapter 1, verse 3. It said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What time? Back up to verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto the servant John. Now I know people read that and they say, well, if it's shortly, it's shortly coming to pass. That's been almost 2,000 years ago. Well, that's true. But what does 2 Peter 3:8 say? I'm going to read it to you. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. So with that being said, it's only been 2 days. Right. So in God's eyes, there's time is short. And I don't know about you, but I think we're at the end of that rope. Right. We're coming up on it very, very quick. Very, very quick. Now, look over at Revelation 1, 4. Look at chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, for thou hast, my page is sticking together. And I'm like, where is it at? It's gone. There it is. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him, which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now John is writing a letter here to seven churches. Go with me now. Go over to chapter 3. You probably know where I'm going. Go over to verse 14 of chapter 3. This is the Laodicean church age. This is the seven letters that John is going to write to the seven churches. Not six, not eight, but seven. That's God's number of completion. There are seven church ages. Now, the letters that he's fixing to write here, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but the letters that he's fixing to write here are written to seven literal churches in Asia. Now, I might be mistaken, because like I said, I'm not necessarily the brightest bulb in the box, but I don't think we're in Asia. Amen? Amen? So, but these letters still apply to us because there is seven literal churches and then there is seven spiritual church ages. of which we live in. And we live in the Laodicean church age today. That's where we live. So the letter that was written that we're going to read here about the Laodiceans will apply to us spiritually, because that's the time that we live in. And it's the last church age. There's not going to be a number eight. This is going to be the last church age. And I think it's about to come to a close. Now, what's the big deal about the Laodicean church? First of all, it was the only church that God didn't have any praise for. All he did was rebuke the church. Now, I thank God that we are right now, we are in what I would call a Philadelphian church. We live in the Laodicean church age, but that doesn't mean we have to be a Laodicean church. And I thank God that for the pastors that we've had here for 50-something years, that every one of them are sticking to the book and sticking to the gospel, so we don't have to participate in the Laodicean church. But with all that being said, I want you to remember one thing. Going through the period of time, when you get to the Laodicean church age, we have brought a little bit of each church with us to this time period. So when we get to the Laodicean church age where we're at today, you're going to see a little bit of the Philadelphian church and a little bit of Samaria. You're going to see a little bit of all of them, all combined to the church age that we live in. So that's why you'll see so many different things going on in so many different churches. We have a little bit of all of it, and all of it's combined. Look at verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." That's its author. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who's speaking to us right now, speaking to his church. Now, I want you to understand about the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church was a huge church. It was massive. It was like three city blocks. It was immaculate. And the people were extremely wealthy. Now, I'm not saying that anything's wrong with being wealthy. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's wrong to be wealthy when the wealth doesn't include the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened with the church, you look at the church age that we live in, and that's an example of the church that Jesus was speaking to when he wrote the literal letters. The time and the way that people are today, it's the same thing. It's all about self. You see people walking around, I said this morning, taking selfies all the time. They're walking around, they got their little brains in their hands, and they're walking around with their little computers. Everything is about me. It's got nothing to do with Jesus. Right. It's about me and what I'm doing right now. This is what matters, is what I'm doing right now. It doesn't matter what God wants. And we say, well, how does wealth bring that on? Because when people are wealthy, their dependency on God seems to go away. Isn't it amazing that when God blesses his people, they turn on him? Right. But that's what we've done. And it happens right here. Watch your young people. They grow up. You know, there's no such thing as poor people anymore. You understand that?
Right. Yeah.
You ride around in these neighborhoods. Get on a bus route. Get on a bus route. These poor children live in a lot better home than I live in. See, today, their God is the government. See, used to, man would get on his knees and he would pray to his God and beg God for the things that he needed to provide for his family. But the Laodicean church didn't do that. They were a proud people. They didn't need God. They had all the wealth. If they wanted it, they bought it. So spiritually, they become dead. There's no spirit. And wealth, you know, you can obtain all the wealth you'd like to. And you can say, well, I help people all the time. You know, there's rich people today that give away millions and millions of dollars to no avail. Because it wasn't given through Christ. It had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. The gospel gets lost in the mix of all that. And when that applies, what good does it do to give $1 million to a lost man? He's still lost. He's happy. For now, but he's still lost. When the money comes into the church house, just like right here, thank God for our missions over here. We give away a lot of money every year to missions. That's where our people takes their wealth and give it to God. There's a lot of our radio station. It costs a lot of money, but it's all for the glory of God. Our schools, our curriculum, everything around here is for God's glory. Everything that goes on here in our church. But it still doesn't change the fact that we live in the Laodicean church age. And the saddest thing about it is that if you're not careful, it'll suck you right in with it. Next thing you know, you're walking. You can't lose your salvation.
Right. Amen.
But maybe your child won't ever get saved.
Right.
Or maybe somebody else that you know won't ever get saved. Look at verse 15. It says, I know thy works, that are neither cold nor hot. I would that were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You've heard a preacher say over and over and over again that it makes God sick to his stomach. The lukewarm church. And it does. What does it mean to have a cold church? You know, a cold church is a church that come in, they go through all the motions, and they go home, and that's it. What's a hot church? A hot church is like us. You come in, we go through the motions, but we're knocking doors, we're running buses, we're bringing children in, we're trying to lead souls to Christ. You got a radio station, you got a school, and everything that goes on here has to do with getting the gospel out, even in the curriculum in the schools. It's all about getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. That's a hot church. And I thank God that we're part of that. So, but why would God rather you be hot or even cold rather than lukewarm? Even a cold church, just going through the motions, they're still saved. They're saved, and the Spirit of God still lives in them. They might be dim, they might be backslidden, but they're saved, praise God. So what happens in a lukewarm church? See, they're not saved. They go through all the motions. Boy, they got their music going on. They got everything going on in church. You know, they take all the pews out, rip everything out, put chairs in. They want to get comfortable. But they're not saved, people. Just because you play in church doesn't make you saved. Going to church every Sunday morning into a church building does not make you a Christian. Amen. You can come here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. That does not make you saved. That's not going to send you to heaven.
Amen.
What's going to send you to heaven is when you decide that you're a sinner and that you need God's grace.
Amen.
You repent and ask for Jesus. That's when you're going to heaven. The lukewarm church is not doing that. Let's read. Look at verse 16 or 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's your lost man right there. These people aren't saved. And I've heard people think that because when he said he'd spew them out of his mouth, that they think maybe they can lose their salvation. No. You can't lose what you don't have. They've never been saved. And with everything that's approaching today, folks, I think we're at the doorstep. I think the rapture is about to take place at any time. Turn with me to Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Verse 16 in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Folks, that's what's fixing to happen. Go back, just look back at chapter 4 in Revelations. Just look back at chapter 4 and verse 1. I should have read that to you first. It says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard were as a trumpet talking with me, which saith, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter that last church age. The trump of God is going to sound, and we're going to be called out of here to be with the Lord, the believers.
Amen.
Folks, and when that time comes, if the trumpet sounds tonight, and you're not saved, you're staying here. And you think it's bad now. Folks, it's going to get rough. And the saddest thing is that you're in a place where you hear the gospel preached every single time that you're here. And people still walk out of here lost as a goose egg. And most of us out of pride. We talked about pride this morning. Folks, pride leads to one thing, disobedience. That's what it is. It's disobedience. It's disobeying God. When you're proud, you're disobeying. Pride will let you get up and walk right out of here and walk yourself straight to the pits of hell. Rather than humbling yourself Dr. Bradley preached last Saturday, yesterday, at Senior Patriots. He said there's two kinds of people in the world, lost sinners and saved sinners. Amen. That's all there is. There's two kinds. So if you're in the building tonight, you're one of two. You're either saved or you're lost. There's no in between. And if you're saved, at some time or another, you walked an aisle or somewhere, you got on your face before God, and you asked for forgiveness, and you repented.
Amen.
And if you haven't done that, then you're still lost.
Amen.
And if you can't remember a time that you did that, you're lost.
That's
right. Folks, you need to get a hold of that. Don't leave here tonight. Don't leave here tonight when the trumpet may sound before you get home. I'm going to read a verse to you out of chapter 13. In Revelation, verse 16. And he causes all small, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, I want you to note something. This is over in chapter 13. This is just about halfway through the tribulation period that they're going to receive a mark. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you heard anything about having to have something before you can get on the ship? Have you heard anything about they want you to have something before you get on the airplane? Some states up north don't want you to be able to buy groceries without something. Folks, that's the mark of the beast coming. It's on the way.
Amen.
So now, if this is not going to happen until about 3.5 years into the tribulation period, so let me ask you a question. How far do you think we're from it? Because if they're already trying to push it now to where you have to have some type of a mark or identification to buy, sell, or trade. So if this is going to take place, then we've got to be at the doorstep of the rapture. Because it's going to happen. It's coming extremely fast. I'm going to read another verse to you. Over in 2 Thessalonians. In verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, it's not going to be good.
Amen.
If you don't take the mark of the beast, if you take the mark of the beast, you're going to be damned. And this is what people will say. Well, when the rapture takes place and all y'all are gone, then I'll believe it. Then I might get saved. No, you won't. No, you're not. What did it just say? That they all, that's everybody, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in all in unrighteousness. That's everybody. You say, well, some of them, you read about some making it through the tribulation period, some who lost their heads. I personally believe they're Jews. Maybe not, but that's what I believe. But nevertheless, if you can't live for Jesus, do you think you're going to die for him?
Right.
What I'm saying to you, folks, is that the time is at hand. I believe with all my heart that rapture's coming, and it's coming soon. And I believe that unless one of us just fall over dead with a heart attack tonight, I pretty much believe most everybody in this building is going to see it. I believe it's coming that soon. They're already talking about the mark. They're already pushing the issue. They're not going to give up. This Ukraine thing, I promise you, it's a smokescreen for something else. It's not going to stop. It's going to progressively get worse. And they're becoming more and more and more bold. And this is what we'll say as a nation, as Christians. We like to say, well, we'll stand up. No, you won't. No, you won't. All they ask you to do is put a mask on. What did everybody do? Shut the doors on the churches and put a mask on. People didn't stand up for Jesus. No, there's a bug. Folks, there's been a bug every day of your life. And there's going to be a bug tomorrow, I promise you. Okay? There's always going to be a bug somewhere. But you're not going to take a stand. If you can't take a stand for that, my soul, people can't even cut the television off to take a stand. Honest to goodness. People kneeled down on a field every time the national anthem was played. They wouldn't kneel for the soldiers, for the men who died and gave their lives for this country.
Amen.
That give us the freedom to do what we do, what we're doing right now.
Right.
Super Bowl time came, billions of people watching the Super Bowl. Right. Shame on you. I'll tell you like it is. Shame, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Amen.
I think it's disgraceful that anybody would turn on a football game if it's the NFL. If people would have took a stand and said, look, we're not gonna tolerate that. We'll tell you what would have happened. The National Football League would have came on the television and they would have apologized to the American people and they'd have fired every one of them clowns that was kneeling. That's what they would have done. Because, see, we can survive without football, but they can't survive without you. They need you and your money to survive. But we can't even take a stand for that. How are we going to take a stand for Christ? Brother Drake mentioned it this morning. Everybody in the world, they'll take a stand. They don't mind standing up for the homosexuals. But when it comes time to stand up for Jesus, we cower down and run. Folks, time is coming. It's at hand. The rapture is coming. And what I'm going to say to you tonight, if you're not saved, do not leave this building here tonight lost.
Amen.
Folks, God loves each and every one of you.
Amen.
He don't want to see anybody go to hell. It doesn't matter how bad your life is. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. God died for every sin that you've ever committed.
Amen.
And he loves you. And the people in this building, you're either lost or you're saved. The saved people are going to love you and pray for you.
That's right.
Amen. And the lost people are in the same situation you are. So when we give an invitation here in just a moment, don't sit there in that seat like you've been doing. If God's tugging on your heart, folks, this is time's at hand. The rapture's about to take place. And when the rapture takes place, you're stuck here. Folks, it's real and it's coming. With eyes closed and heads bowed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the musicians to come down and play. I'm going to ask Brother Bert to sing a hymn of invitation. And Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we give an invitation, we turn it over to you, Father, and we ask your blessings upon it. We ask it in Christ's name.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender.
Maybe you need to move a membership. Maybe you just need to do business with God. Maybe you got a loved one in your family that you know is lost and needs to be saved. Maybe you need to come down and pray for him. Folks, these are serious times. We're going to sing one more verse of invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior holy thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Well, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, Brother Bert. Before you leave, please don't forget to sign up on the boards over here and pray for the Restore-a-thon and ask God to bless it. Well, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us in the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we dismiss tonight, I do pray, Lord, if there be anybody here this